Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Yud Tet Amud Aleph. The Gemara is continuing to discuss what we left off with yesterday. Rav and Rabbi Chanina had the opinion that Batla Megillat Tanit, that Megillat Tanit no longer was relevant. The Gemara challenged that from the fact that there is a holiday that was established in Megillat Tanit on the third day of Tishrei. On that third day of Tishrei, the Chachamim were successful at removing the Shem Hashem from contracts that had been put in place by the Chashmonaim after they were victorious over the Greeks who had restricted or prohibited the use of the Shem Hashem. Chachamim saw it as a miracle that they were able to overcome the common practice of the people and to stop them from putting the Shem Hashem into the contracts. So they made that day into a holiday. But that's very late, as we discussed before. The Gemara clearly thinks that's after the time of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, probably in the time of Yanai Melech, or even into the time of Shlomtzion Amalka. So it's very late, and we still have them establishing holidays. How could you say, Batla Megillat Tanit? The Gemara gave a very simple answer. That was the time that the Mikdash is Kayam. Rav and Rabbi Chanina only believe that Megillat Tanit is Batel after the Mikdash is Bechurbana. The same way that the holidays turn back into fast days when the Mikdash is gone, so too Megillat Tanit, which has the holidays in it, is Batel. When exactly that transition happens is a good question that we dealt with yesterday. Whether it's when they lose autonomous rule, or is it when the Churban HaBayit, or when Bnei Yisrael are no longer found on their land, any one of those that triggers the holidays switching back to fast days in Zechariah, so too, according to Rav and Rabbi Chanina, would trigger Megillat Tanit to be Batel. But this holiday that was instituted was in a time that the Mikdash was Kayam, was still extant, so that's not a question. The Gemara right away raises another issue, which is, why are they making this into a new holiday? The third of Tishrei is already a holiday, because in the Sukkim in Zechariah, it says that the Chodesh HaShvi'i, one of the Tzomot, was on the seventh month, and we discussed that the fast of the seventh month was Tzom Gedalia. And there in Zechariah it says that they will ne'apach, the sasono simcha, they will turn into holidays. Since they're going to turn into holidays, then when the Mikdash is kayam, which is what we just said, and the tzomot are no longer relevant, therefore they turn into holidays. So the third of Tishrei is the holiday, quote-unquote, of Tzom Gedalia. So why did the Chachamim institute another holiday on top of an existing holiday? So Gemara says over here, Amar Rav, lo nitzrucha el lesor et shilafanav. It's only to come to be Oser the day before. We're going to discuss this further in today's daf. But when it came to the holidays in Megillat Tanit, not only were those days restricted in Tanit and Hespeid, but the day before and the day after are restricted in fasting, but not in Hespeid. You can't have Hespeidim on Erev of one of those Yom Tovim that are found in the Megillat Tanit, that you can have one afterwards. But you can't fast on the day before and you can't fast on the day afterwards. What Rav is suggesting over here is that had it just been for the holiday of Gedalia ben Achikam, then only that day of the third of Tishrei would have been restricted. But the day before would not have been restricted. So they put in place this holiday of the Chachamim in Megillat Tanit in order to restrict the second of Tishrei as well. So Mar says, V'shalarana fanav, namiti bokdalei, dahavilei yom shachar rosh chodesh. That's the day after Rosh Chodesh. It's very interesting. The Gemara here never mentions Rosh Hashanah. It's obviously the day after Rosh Hashanah, not the day after Rosh Chodesh. But here it mentions Rosh Chodesh and not Rosh Hashanah, against what we saw before in the Gemara about Bekesel Yom Chageinu, how Tosafot discusses the fact that we don't mention Rosh Chodesh. But here the Gemara calls Rosh Hashanah Rosh Chodesh. What's more interesting is that there's only one day of Rosh Chodesh. Because if there were 2 days of Rosh Hashanah or 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, the way that we have the practice today, that would have been an Aleph and Bet of Tishrei, because of the Takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. If that's the case, then the second day would have been prohibited from anything, because it's a day of Yom Tov. The fact that Gemara is addressing it as a single day of Rosh Hashanah means either we're talking about in Yerushalayim, and therefore it's considered to be one day, or this is supportive of Rashi's opinion, which is that they only kept one day of Rosh Hashanah, even the Gola. Meaning that once they knew when the Rosh Chodesh was established for Elul, they also then knew automatically when Rosh Hashanah was, because on the Rov there were 29 days to Elul. And since on the Rov there were 29 days to Elul, they could automatically assume that that 30th day was Rosh Hashanah. And according to Rashi, they only kept one day of Yom Tov. Tosafot disagrees and says they kept 2 days of Yom Tov. They just needed to know when to keep the 2 days of Yom Tov and not 3 days of Yom Tov. So based on that, this would be supportive of Rashi, that was only one day of Rosh Hashanah. But you could argue that this only relates to places that had one day of Rosh Hashanah. Other places had 2 days, so this is not relevant to them. But now we have Rosh Chodesh on the first day, Rosh Hashanah on the first day. Yisru Chag should prevent one from fasting, or possibly Behesped, because it's Yisru Chag. Gemara says, wait a minute, Rosh Chodesh de'oraita. Rosh Chodesh is already a din de'oraita, it's a holiday de'oraita, so is Rosh Hashanah. Vidoraita lo bayichizuk. Holidays mi deoraita do not require extra strengthening, which means that they do not require that the day before and after also carry some of the character of the day in order to focus on that day itself. The Tanya, we have a braita. Hayamim ha'ele aktuvim b'migilat Tanit. These days that are enumerated in Migilat Tanit, asurim ben lifnehem ben achrehem. Not only are they asur on the days themselves, but also beforehand and afterwards. Again, Tosafot limits that to Tanit, to fasting, and not hesped. There are others that think that it applies to hesped as well. Shabbatot v'yamim tovim, heim asurim. When it comes to Shabbat and Yom Tov, and Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah would be thrown in there as well, because as Rashi points out, Rosh Chodesh is a moed de'oraita. They are asurim on that day itself. Lifnehem u'lachrehem mutarim. But before that day, and after that day of Yom Tov, they are not asurim, they are mutarim. Tosafot is medayik from this, that by holidays deoraita, there is no restriction before and after, which means that you can fast on an Erev Shabbat or an Erev Yom Tov. And that actually was our practice this year, where Asara B'Tevet fell out on a Friday, that we fast the entire day, and we're mashlim the day. We fast through the entire day of Friday, and we do not consider it as if a problem that we're fasting on Shabbat. But he says that is true not only by a Tanit Sibur, but even by a Tanit Yachid. Mahefresh ben zeh lezeh. Why is there a difference between the holidays mentioned in Megillat Tanit and the holidays d'oraita? Halalu divrei Torah. Those holidays that are found in the Torah, ve'en divrei Torah, tzrichim chizuk. Since they're found in the Torah, everybody's going to celebrate those holidays. They don't need extra reinforcement to have people celebrate those holidays. They're well known and they're well kept amongst the people. On the other hand, halalu divrei Sofrim. Those items that are enumerated in Megillat Tanit are not well known and they were instituted by the Chachamim. V'divrei Sofrim, tzrichim chizuk, and those things that are the Rabbanan need extra reinforcement, and that reinforcement gives you the day before and the day afterwards, gives it some character of the day of the holiday, in order to reinforce or focus one on the day that there isn't actually a holiday coming up. So that the restrictions actually will span over 3 days, or at least a portion of the restrictions will span over 3 days, in order for people to acknowledge and understand that there is a holiday on that day. So if it were just for the fact that it was Rosh Chodesh on the first day of Tishrei, then only that day would be Asur, not the day in between. But if they institute a rabbinic holiday on the third of Tishrei, then the second day of Tishrei is also affected. And now the Gemara challenges that and says, wait a minute, what about Tzom Gedaliah? Wait, Gimel Tishrei is also not Midoraita, it's not Minat Torah. So if it's not Minat Torah, then the day before should also be restricted in order to give it chizuk. So why did you have to institute a new holiday to Rabbanan? Amar Ravashi, Gedaliah ben Achikam, Divrei Kabbalahu. That comes from Zechariah. That comes from the Navi. V'divrei Kabbalah, k'divrei Torah adamu. And the words of the Navi have the same power as a din d'oraita. It's well acknowledged, well kept by the people, and therefore they do not need strengthening. That's an interesting idea in the Gemara in general. If you were to take a survey of every time the Gemara talks about Divrei Kabbalah, sometimes the Gemara says Divrei Kabbalah ki Divrei Torah, that the words of Nevi'im have the same power as Divrei Torah, and sometimes the Gemara says that Divrei Kabbalah are not Divrei Torah. And you'd have to look through Shas to understand when that is, that they do apply it and when they don't apply it. But what the Gemara is indicating over here is that when you have mitzvah mina Nevi'im, those mitzvot mina Nevi'im are well kept and well acknowledged by the people, and they don't need reinforcement. So if it was solely for Rosh Chodesh, or solely for the third of Tishrei being Tzom Gedaliah, which is now the holiday of Tzom Gedaliah, then the first of Tishrei and the third of Tishrei would have been Asurim B'Tanit B'Hesped, but the second of Tishrei would not have been affected. So now the Chachamim instituted an additional holiday that would be on the third of Tishrei, and that holiday then will affect the second of Tishrei, as well as the fourth of Tishrei, because that holiday will restrict the day before and the day afterwards. And so that's what Rav claims is the reason that they put it into effect, even though the day was already a holiday. Now, you do have to ask in the end, why did they do that? The day is already a holiday, and so it doesn't need reinforcement, because the day is a holiday. So you could argue that it needs reinforcement, because people will remember it's the third of Tishrei, it's the Tzom Gedaliah, but they're not going to remember the Chachamim's holiday. By restricting the day before and the day afterwards, then they remember that there's not only Tzom Gedaliah, there's also another holiday that was instituted by the chachamim. The other possibility is that it's lo plug, that even though the third already exists and doesn't need chizuk because it exists as a yom tov, then you don't need to reinforce it, but we do it anyway because anytime there's a holiday to Rabbanan, we enforce the day. That's another possible answer. The third possible answer is that they put it in place because if Tzom Gedalia goes back to being a Tzom, it'll still be a holiday meet de Rabbanan that will be Aser B'Tanit Vespeit. Now that's a little problematic for a number of reasons. First of all, according to Rav and Rabbi Chanina, Megillat Tanit goes the same time that the Tzomot goes, so that wouldn't be relevant to them. According to the other opinion that Megillat Tanit is still effective even after the Tzomot go back to being Tzomot, nevertheless, it will be Tzom Gedalia, which will override any day or a Yom Tov de Rabbanon. So therefore, instituting a Yom Tov de Rabbanon on top of it may not really do anything for you in terms of it extending beyond the Churban HaBayit or beyond the time that they remain as holidays rather than Tzomot. The first two answers that we gave are more likely, which is either it's Lo Plug or because we want you to focus on the nature of the holiday, not just that it's Tzom Gedalia turned into a holiday, but it's also this other holiday that the Rabbanon instituted, and we do that by making Asur the day before and the day afterwards. Now, Meitiv Rav Tuvi Bar Matna, Besrim V'Tamaraya Bey, on the 28th day of Adar, Atat Besurta Tavta L'Yudai, there was a great piece of news that came to the Jews, Delo Ye'idun Mi'oraita, that they did not have to separate themselves, distance themselves from the Torah, Shegazra Machut Gzera. So again, the Megillat Tanit has the days and a short description of why the day is a holiday in Aramaic, and then there is afterwards, the Sokolion, which gives you, in Hebrew, a more detailed explanation of these days. So we just quoted first the piece from Megillat Tanit, which tells you the nature of the day. Now in Hebrew, we're going to have an explanation, or a more detailed explanation of what it is. Shegazra malchut gzera shlo yasku b'torah. The government put into place a gzera that they were not allowed to involve in themselves in Torah, to learn Torah. V'shelo yimolu et b'nehem, and that they should not give a brit milah to their children. V'shichalalu shabbatot, and that it should be mechalel shabbat. So they took away shabbat, milah, and Torah. Sounds very familiar. It's the same things that were taken away at Hanukkah time. Ma'asa Yehuda ben Shamua v'chaverav. So what did Yehuda ben Shamua and his friends do to go and be mevatel to nullify this gezerah? Halchu v'natlu etzah mimatronita achat shekol gedolei Romi mitzuyin etzlah. They went to Rome and they inquired of a matron there who had connections to the nobility of Rome or the leaders of Rome. Questioned the nature of these matrons that were in Rome, whether they were prostitutes, or whether they were actually women that held heavy power because either of their wealth or their husband's wealth, and therefore they had connections and they could lobby within the government officials. But for whatever reason, this Matronita had those connections, and they went to take counsel with her to find out what they should do. So Amra Lahem, she advised them, Bo v'ifginu balayla, go out and demonstrate protest at night. Halchu v'ifginu balayla, they went out at night and demonstrated, protested. Amru, ish shamayim, B'shem Hashem, by the name of the heavens. Lo achachem anachnu, aren't we your brothers? V'lo b'nei av echad anachnu, don't we descend from the same forefather? V'lo b'nei machat anachnu, don't we descend from the same mother? Ma nishtaninu mikol ha'uma, v'lashon shatem gozrim aleinu gezerot. Keshot, what is different about us that you put these very difficult and harsh decrees upon us and no one else? Uvitlum, in the end they were mevatelet. V'oto ayom aso yom tov. And in that day, they made it into a yom tov. So now, v'isakadatcha bat la Megillat Tanit. So if we think, according to Rav and Rabbi Chanina, that Megillat Tanit is no longer valid, kamaita betul achranaita mosifim, but they're nullifying, wiping out the original holidays, and now you're adding on new holidays towards the end. It's obviously, again, another very late innovation. It's the time the Romans, we'll see in a second. V'chitei ma'achanami bizman beit ha-migdash kayam, that this was also the time of the Mikdash being Kayam, like we answered in the previous case, that's just not true. V'ayuhuda ben Shemua tamido shel Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir batar hachiavo, and we know for sure that Rabbi Meir was after the Korban HaBayit. Yehuda ben Shemua is a Talmid of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is a Talmid of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is a Talmid of Rabbi Lezer ben Hurgunus. And Rabbi Lezer ben Hurgunus is a Talmid of Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. The Mikdash is destroyed in the lifetime of Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. We know from the stories about the Korban, about his exchanges with Vespasian and the Agadot in Gittim with regard to the Korban HaBayit. So Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai lives through the Korban. His Talmid is Rabbi Lezer ben Hurgunus. We know that from the Mishnah and Avot. And then Rabbi Lezer ben Hukranes is Talmid is Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva is the Rebbe of Rabbi Meir. And then you have Yehuda ben Shamua. So you're talking about five generations removed already after the Churban HaBayit. Yehuda ben Shamua is not living when the Bayit is extant, for sure. He's just too far away from it. So here you see that they're adding on holidays to Megillat Tanit, even post-Churban. Now the Gemara says, Ditznan, or there's some that say it's Ditanya, there's a Breita, that has a machloke that makes it clear that Yehuda ben Shamua is a Talmid of Rabbi Meir. Just glizukhit, if you have glass utensils, shinikvu, they have a hole in them. Ve'tif l'tochan avar, and then they fill the hole with lead. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rehuda ben Shamua mitamei mishum Rabbi Meir. That Yehuda ben Shamua is mitamei in the name of Rabbi Meir. So you see that Yehuda ben Shamua's Rebbe was Rabbi Meir. Ve'chachamim mitaharim. On the other hand, the chachamim are mitaher. Rashi brings two interpretations down, possibly what this is speaking about. One is whether the Kli goes back retroactively and becomes Tameh. There is a Gzirabai Kilim, Kalei Matechot, Metal Kilim, which is that if you reformulate the Kli after it's been destroyed or lost its shame Kli, that the Tumah comes back. Without any other Kli, if you destroy the Kli, the Tumah disappears. If you reconstitute the Kli, then prospectively it can be Mikabel Tumah, but it has nothing to do with the Tumah beforehand. The Chamim goes there by metal, that if one destroys the Kli and then reforms the Kli, that the Tumah retroactively comes back and the Kli remains Tameh. And that has to do with the nature of Matechet Kelim, including the fact that when they're flat, they're a Mekabel Tumah and that they're easily fixed and can be brought back. So the Chachamim wanted to make sure that people really destroyed the Kli in order to remove the Tumah. But if they did something small and then put it back and it really wasn't destruction of the Kli, then they said no. So they did that by saying that retroactively, Kli Matechot have a din of Tumah even after they've been destroyed. So over here, this was a Kli Zuchuchit, that they put a hole in it to take away the shame Kli. When they took away the shame Kli, it no longer has Tumah. Now, when they reseal that hole with Avar, with the Oferet, with the lead, and they plug it, what is the status of this Kli now? If it remains a Kli Zuchuchit, the truth is that it won't be Mekabel Tumah retroactively. Rather, it'll only be Mekabel Tumah prospectively. On the other hand, if you view it as a Kli Matechet, then it will have Tumah retroactively. So what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Shemua mitamei mishum Rabbi Meir, is because the Avar is a Mamit, and a Kol Olech Achar Mamit. Since it's the thing that causes the Kli now to be functional, and it's the Mamit of the Kli, it gets disproportionate importance, and therefore it becomes now like a Kli Matechet. And if it's a Kli Matechet, it has Tumah retroactively, and that's what Yehuda ben Shemua is saying over here. On the other hand, the Chachamim say, no, the Mamit, we don't give it that disproportionate weight. The whole Kli is a Kli Zuchuchit, and remains a Kli Zuchuchit, and therefore there's no Tumah retroactively, but rather prospectively. That's one way to explain it. Rashi brings, Inyan Acher brings a second way to explain it, and says here, the Machloket is a case where it was Tahor, and they put a hole in it, and then they put Avar into it, and then they filled it with lead. What is the status of the Kli now prospectively? Is this Kli prospectively a Kli Matechet, or is this Kli prospectively a Kli Zuchuchit? If it's a Kli Matechet, it's Mekabel Tumah Mina Torah. If it's only a Kli Zuchuchit, then it's only Mekabel Tumah Midrabanan. So those are the two ways that Rashi explains the Machloket. Tosafot brings other alternatives, including from the Rashbam, who suggests that the machloket here is whether the Kli is considered to be a Kli at all. I mean, does that plug of lead make it into a Kli or not a Kli? That's the discussion over here. He also brings from the Riva the possibility that maybe Kli Zuchuchit, have it done like Kli Cheres, they're not Mekabel Tumah whatsoever. Tosafot rejects both the Rashbam and the Riva's approach because of the Tosefta, which seems to support Rashi's interpretation, and the Gemara in Shabbat, which ruins it for the Riva. So in the end, Tosafot says that Rashi's explanation seems like the most likely explanation of this machloket here. But what we see from this is that Yehuda ben Shamua is a Talmid of Rabbi Meir, and this is post-Churban, and they're still instituting holidays inside of Megillat Tanit. The Gemara says, Tanaehi, this machloket Amoraim that we had established whether Megillat Tanit what goes beyond the Churban HaBayit is actually a machloket Tanaim. Titania, Hayamim Eilu Aktuvim Megillat Tanit, Ben Bizman Shebeit HaMikdash Kayam, Ben Bizman Sheim Beit HaMikdash Kayam, Asurim Divrei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says that it doesn't matter whether the Mikdash is extant or not, they are Asurim Bes Beit and Tanit. These holidays outlive the Mikdash. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Bizman Shebeit HaMikdash Kayam Asurim, when the Mikdash is extant, they are Asurim, Mipnei Shesimcha Hi Lahem. Because that's part of the celebration. Those victories and those celebrations are also associated with the fact that the Mikdash is extant. On the other hand, Ein Beit HaMikdash Kayam, Mutarim. If the Mikdash is not extant, then those days are Mutarim. Ibnei, Avel Hulahem. Because the whole dynamic has changed now to one of Avelut rather than Simcha. And therefore, Megillat Tanit is Batel. Ve'chilkata. And the halacha is, when the Gemara says Hilkata, that means this is the Psak of the Gemara, is Ve'chilkata Batlu. That Megillat Tanit is Batel, and all those holidays are Batel. Ve'chilkata Lo Batlu. And then we have another halacha that says that they are not Batel. So Kasha Hilkata, Hilkata. You just gave incongruous, mutually exclusive psiske halacha. How does that work? It says, Lokasha, kan b'chanukah u'purim, kan b'shar yomei. When it comes to chanukah u'purim that are found in Megillat Tanit, they survive beyond Megillat Tanit. They exist even post our Qurban. Whereas b'shar yomei, all the other holidays that are inside of Megillat Tanit, they are batel. Chanukah and Purim outlive the Qurban HaBayit, and they are still holidays beyond the Qurban HaBayit, but also holidays that include the restrictions of before and after. Whereas the Shar Yomim, the other days that are in Megillat Tanit, are not relevant after the Qurban HaBayit. Now we saw before by Chanukah that it outlives Megillat Tanit because of the fact that Pursume Nisa, which we discussed in yesterday's Gemara, and obviously Purim outlives it because Purim is found in the Ktuvim. It's also not just a part of Megillat Tanit, it's part of the Ktuvim. So those two holidays outlive Megillat Tanit, whereas the other holidays are connected to the fact that the Mikdash is destroyed and we're Bavelut, and therefore the Simcha is no longer appropriate, or those celebrations are no longer appropriate. Now the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah, that Al Elul, Shluchim go out on Elul mipnei Rosh Hashanah, Val Tishrei mipnei Takanat HaMoadot. And then they go out again on Tishrei for the Moadot. Okay, and then after the Elul, since they already ran out and established when Elul is, at Tishrei Lamaluhu. Why do they have to go out on Tishrei? V'chite maduma avru al Elul. If you say, because maybe they made Elul 30 days. Rama Rav Chinen of Arkan, Amar Rav, Mimot Ezra Velech. From the time of Ezra and onwards, Lo Matzinu El Mubar. We never found a 30-day Elul. Tosafot over here discusses in the time of Ezra, what he seems to decipher from the Psukim there, that there actually was a 30-day Elul in the time of Ezra, and that's why Ezra is used as the cutoff. The other possibility is that Ezra was right before the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, and it was the type of history that they still had a connection to, and therefore he says, from the time of Ezra and onward, they know for sure that there was no Elul that was made that was a 30-day Elul. If that's the case, as soon as you know when Rosh Chodesh Elul is, you'll know when Rosh Hashanah is. Rosh Hashanah will be the 30th day afterwards from the Rosh Chodesh Elul. So it says, Lo Matzina Delo Itzrich. Ha Itzrich Ma'arinan Le. Now what we never find is that an unnecessary 30-day Elul. But if it was necessary, they would be Ma'aberit. They would make it into a 30-day month. So now, where it says, Ha Mikalkel Rosh Hashanah, that messes up Rosh Hashanah. If you make it into a 30-day Elul, then people are not going to be certain about which day Rosh Hashanah is going to fall out on. Meaning, if you knew for sure that Elul was always 29 days, then Rosh Hashanah, you could always know which day Rosh Hashanah was. But now that you are flipping out Rosh Hashanah and making it a possibility that there could be a 30-day Elul when necessary, then it means that Rosh Hashanah could not be on the day that you think. It says, Mutav Kalkel Rosh Hashanah V'leit Kalkelu Kulu Moadot. It's better that Rosh Hashanah is thrown off, but the remainder of the Moadot, the remainder of the holidays, are intact. The Gemara says, Deganami. We're going to be mitayek from the Mishnah, Diktani, al Tishrei mipnei takanat ha-moadot. That the reason that the Shluchim go out for Tishrei is because they want to establish when the Moadot are. Not when Rosh Hashanah is, but establish when the remainder of the Moadot are. So that's in order to ensure that the other days are intact. Now, what is a necessity to make Elul into Me'ubar? So Rashi here over says the reason is because of Meitaya and Yerakaya, which are mentioned on the Gemara later on, which is the reason below Adurosh. Rosh Hashanah cannot fall out on a Sunday, a Wednesday, or a Friday. One of those days is because of Hoshana Rabbah, which is that if Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Sunday, that means that Hoshana Rabbah will be on Shabbat. And we don't want Hoshana Rabbah to fall out on Shabbat. With regards to Wednesday and Friday, if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Wednesday, then Yom Kippur will be on Friday. And if Rosh Hashanah is on Friday, Yom Kippur will turn out on Sunday. And then you'll have 2 days in a row where you can't do Ochel Nefesh, and 2 days in a row where you can't bury Meitim. The Gemara has a machloket as to what the reason is that we don't want them juxtaposed, but we don't want Yom Kippur and Shabbat adjacent to each other. So we don't want Yom Kippur on Friday, we don't want it on Sunday. The only way to prevent that is not to have Rosh Hashanah fall out on Wednesday or Friday. So that's why we adjust the calendar to ensure that Rosh Hashanah won't fall out on those days. Now, that's Rashi's explanation of what the Itzrich is, and now we can understand better to knock off Rosh Hashanah by a day, and then have Yom Kippur turn out to be on the okay day, or Hoshana Rabbah turn out to be on the right day, and that's what it means. We're Mekalgo Rosh Hashanah for Tikkun HaMoladot. Tosfot says, I don't understand. If that's the reason, then everybody will know that. If you have a 29-day Elul, and then all of a sudden you realize Rosh Hashanah is going to fall out on Adu on one of those 3 days, then you know for sure they postponed Rosh Hashanah, and you'll know that it's a 30-day month, and you don't have any questions. Again, there's no Kilkul of Rosh Hashanah. Everybody can calculate this. This is very easy to figure out, because they knew when Rosh Chodesh Elul was. They'll know that the 30th day is one of the Aleph Dalet Vav days of the week, and therefore they'll know that it's a 30-day Elul this year. So Tosafot says, V'nira delav mishimadu gamar, that the reason of Tzorech here is not because of those 3 days, postponing because of Yom Kippur or Hoshana Rabbah. It's a possibility that they don't have witnesses that see the moon on the 30th day. So even though they know that the Molad might have taken place on that day, and the 30th should have been Rosh Hashanah, the fact that no Edim showed up makes it that they wait until the next day. They wait until the next day till the Edim show up, because there's a mitzvah, the Kadesh of Piyariyah, even though they do the calculations, and astronomically, it should have been the day before. So there is that possibility that Rosh Hashanah could be the next day when the Edim don't show up. And that's Itzrich. Itzrich is Edim didn't show up, so you have to wait till the next day. So that leaves it in a safek that sometimes Rosh Hashanah is on the 30th day of Elul, and sometimes it's on the 31st day of Elul. I mean, that's the first day of Tishrei, is what would have been the 30th day of Elul, or it would have been the 31st day of Elul is the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Because of that, there's a safek, and that's why they send out the Shluchim to tell him when Rosh Hashanah was, in order to straighten out when Yom Kippur is and Sukkot. Rashi earlier on says that in terms of Rosh Hashanah, they always knew that Rosh Hashanah was one day, and that the Bnei Agolah even kept one day. It seems from the Lashon of Rashi, because they knew there was always a 29-day. Tosafot over there disagrees and says the reason that they needed to know Rosh Chodesh Elul is to know when to keep the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, not to have to keep 3 days of Rosh Hashanah. And that narrowed it down to 2 days by knowing when Rosh Chodesh Elul was. On the other hand, Rashi seems to indicate that it was just one day everywhere because they just assumed that Elul was 29 days and then Rosh Hashanah was afterwards. Rashi himself mentions the only reason they sent the Edim out, the Shluchim out, was to people wouldn't have pangs of guilt with regards to Yom Kippur because they knew that it was going to be 29 days. They just wanted to be certain. That's why they sent out the Shluchim. That's one possibility. Again, we said that Tosafot disagrees with Rashi on this point. And there are others who leave out the word bigolah in Rashi's commentary when they quote Rashi, and that would change everything, because that would mean that it's not about the golah that kept 1 day of Rosh Hashanah. The golah, they did keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and they needed to send out the shluchim to get to those people in the golah. But the Rashi that we have in front of us that does have the word bigolah in it, it presents this problem, and you have to answer it in one of two ways, which is either in Ochanami, they kept 1 day of Rosh Hashanah, and it was just a confirmation that they sent out the shluchim for Tishrei, or you have to say like Tosafot, who disagrees and says they did keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and they were doing that to keep 2 days and not 3 days. That's why they needed the Shluchim from Elul, and then they need the verification in Tishrei. And now the Gemara says, Val Kislev mipnei Chanukah, Val Adar mipnei Purim. They used to send out the Shluchim and Kislev to know when Chanukah fell out, and an Adar to know when Purim would fall out. V'ilu nitab Rosh Hashanah yutzim al Adar Shani mipnei Purim lo k'tani. Our Mishnah does not indicate that if it's a leap year that the Shluchim would go out on the second Adar, in order to establish when Purim was. Where it says, Matnitan deloka Rabbi. Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi. Detanya, Rabbi Omer, initabra shana yutzim af al Adar shini, mipnei Purim. That if it was a leap year, then the Shulchim would go out on the second Adar as well, because of Purim. Where it says, Lema bahaka miflige. Let's say this is their argument. Demar sabra kol mitzvot anuagot b'shini, anuagot b'rishon. That all the mitzvot that are noeg in the second month, meaning Adar shini, are also noeg in the first month. All the mitzvot that are kept in the second month can only be kept in the second month. So, our Mishnah believes that you can keep Purim in Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni. It doesn't matter. That's why the Shulchim only had to go out once, because they went out in Adar Rishon. It doesn't matter if it's a leap year. On the other hand, Rabbi, who believes that they have to go out on Adar Sheni, believes that you can only do Purim in Adar Sheni. You can't do it in Adar Rishon. Let's say that's the machloket here. That the mitzvot that are kept in the second month cannot be done in the first month. They're arguing about leap years. How much is a leap year? It's 30 days. So the additional month will always be 30 days. It can be 29 days. So Maishna Lamed Diade. So what are you telling me? Their machloket here is whether it's a 30 or 29 day, the extra month. So the one who says that it's 30 days, they don't need to send out shluchim anymore because they know for sure that the extra Adar will be 30 days and they'll know exactly when Adar Sheni will fall out. Now again, what's very interesting here, Rashi notes it as well here that you may Adar Rishon. But the argument about here is how long is Adar Rishon, because that's considered to be the leap month. Leap month is the first Adar and not the second month. And therefore, when they're discussing here 30 or 29 days, that means Adar Rishon. So if Adar Rishon is always 30 days, the leap month is always 30 days, and if you knew when Adar Rishon started from the Shulchim, then you'll know when Adar Sheni will start. So Rashi says, well, why don't you say the same thing about the one who says Kodesh? Kodesh Nami Adar. If it's 29 days, they'll also always know when Rosh Kodesh of Adar Sheni is. So Amar Papa Madamar Kodesh. The one who says Kodesh doesn't mean 29 days, but rather Ratzah Kodesh, Ratzah Shloshim. Kodesh means it can be either 29 or 30. The opinion who says 30, it's 30 fixed and you can't change it. The one who says Kodesh says it could be 30 or 29. So that could be their machloket over here. How is the extra month placed into the calendar? If it's always fixed at 30 days, then that's what our Tana of our Mishnah says. You never have to worry about Adar Sheni. If you know when Adar Rishon is, you'll all automatically know 31 days later is Adar Sheni and you'll know when Purim is. On the other hand, according to Rabbi, who says that the extra month could be either 29 or 30 days, then you need to send out Shluchim for Adar Sheni to let you know when Adar Sheni is in order to establish Purim. Tosafot asks an interesting question, which is according to our Tana, that they didn't send out people on Adar Sheni. How did they know it was a leap year? I mean, that the Shluchim came in Adar Rishon. It's possible that they made the leap year after that point in time. How did they know that it was a leap year? So he says they'll know it from actually the absence of Shluchim, because they know that Shluchim come on Nisan to tell them when Pesach is going to be. So when the Shluchim don't show up for Nisan, they'll know that it's really Adar Sheni and not Nisan. So the absence of Shluchim will tell them that it's a leap year, and that's how they'll know that there's an Adar Sheni, according to the Tano of our Mishnah. Tosafot also notes that there was a different Girsa in our Gemara, that the Rov of Asfarim, the Girsa was this, that Kol HaMitzvot HaNoogot BaRishon Noogot BaSheni, that all the mitzvot are done on the first month are then also done in the second month. Marsav HaNoogot, the one says not. That's the opposite of the Girsa that we have here, as well as in the Gemara and Megillah, which has the Girsa like the way we have in our Gemara, which is that the second month is the primary month, and then we're trying to say that maybe the first month should also have those mitzvot. The way Tosafot has the Girsa, it's the first month is primary, and they're trying to extrapolate the mitzvot from the first month into the second month. And he says, he says you can't explain both of the Girsot. There are opinions in Shkalim, as well as in the Yushalmi, as to which Adar is the primary Adar. Is it Rishon Sheni, or does it make no difference? You can do it in either one of the months of Adar. So the Gemara says now, Heid Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Mishum Kala Kadisha Yerushalayim Ashnei Adarim Shemekadshim Otam Biyom Iburehem, that he has a testimony from the Tzibor in Yerushalayim, the holy people of Yerushalayim, that both Adars, you always make the Rosh Chodesh on Yom Iburehem. Yom Iburehem is the day of Ibur, the day that could be the extra day of the month, or could be the first of the next month. That is the 30th day. That means that Adar Rishon is always 29 days, and Adar Sheni is always 29 days. The Memra, Dechaserin Avdinan, Lein Lo Avdinan. From that you would conclude that you only make them 29 days, you do not make them 30 days. La Fuke Midorosh from Nachman Bar Chisda. That comes to negate the drush of Nachman Bar Chisda, Shehid Rabbi Simai Mishum Chagai Zecharim Malachi, if you want to make them both 30 days, that's fine. If you want to make them both 29 days, osim, that's fine. Or if you want to make them one of them 30 and one 29 days, that's all fine. And that was the minhag in the Gola. That's how they kept Adar, that they had flexible months, so they could be 29 or 30 days. Umishum Rabbeinu Amru, and the name of our Rebbe, Rabbeinu here refers to Rav, Olam echad malei veechad chaser. One is malei and one is chaser. Ad shivadal lechashukva rosh chodesh bizmano. Unless you get information to the contrary from the shluchim, the assumption is that the first Adar is 30 days and the second Adar is 29 days. So shalchulei the marukva Adar samuch nisan olam chaser. They sent to marukva that the Adar that is closer to Nisan is always a chaser. It's always 29 days. That's actually our practice today. That Adar Rishon is 30 days, and then Adar Sheni is 29 days. If that is the case, then you actually would not need Shluchim to go out for Pesach on Nisan, because you would always know that the Adar that is adjacent to Nisan is 29 days. Whether that's one Adar, in a year that there's only one Adar would be 29 days, or in a year where there's an Adar Sheni, the one closer to Pesach would always be 29 days. And then you would not need the Shluchim to go out for Pesach. Nevertheless, Tosfot says that in the Gemara, rejects this statement and says that's just not true. But nevertheless, even though the Gemara rejects this, our minhag is to do this. Even though the Gemara rejects it, is to keep the first Adar Malay and the second Adar Chaser. And Tosfot explains why. Because the first Adar is the leap year. So that's the leap month. It's better to make that the full month and to have that be the 30-day month. And then the Adar Sheni, which is the one that is always adjacent to Nisan, we keep at 29 days. And so now, Meiti Rav Nachman, Ashnei Chodashim Mechalalim Et HaShabbat. For 2 Chodashim, the Edim who come to testify about seeing the moon, they're allowed to be Mechalal Shabbat to get to Yerushalayim to testify in Beitin, Al Nisan Val Tishrei. For Nisan and Tishrei. Iyamar Bishlama Zimnin Malei Zimnin Chaser. If there's a possibility of Adar being 29 or 30 days, then it makes sense that those Edim that are coming to Yerushalayim are Mechalal Shabbat to establish when Rosh Chodesh Nisan is. Ella, Iyamar Dolam Chaser, if you tell me that it's always a 29-day month, Amai Mechalalin, then why are you Mechalal Shabbat? Why would you be Mechalal Shabbat if you know for sure that that day is going to be Rosh Chodesh? Umar says, Mishum de Mitzvah de Kadesh Alariyah. So even though the Chachamim would have established it that the second Adar would always be 29 days, if that's the case, they would make it Kodesh, the 30th day, Nisan, no matter what. If that's the case, you don't need to be Mechalal Shabbat. But what the Gemara in the end says is no, that they want to be Mekadesh al pi ha-ri'iyah. That they actually want Edim to come because there is a mitzvah to do it al pi ha-ri'iyah. Ein ochanami, that they could do it and make it 29 days always and just do it with or without Edim. But nevertheless, the Chachamim wanted to have the Edim come and testify because then they would be Mekadesh al pi ha-ri'iyah, which is the mitzvah mina mubchar. Ikedam, right? Amar Rav Nachman, Afanan Nami Tanina, that we also have a Mishnah that supports this. Al Shnei Chodeshim Mechalim Et HaShabbat, that there are 2 months where the Mechal Shabbat on Nisan Val Tishrei. Iyamar Bishlamo L'Olam Chaser, if you tell me there was always 29 days, Mishum Alchi Mechalalinan, then your Mechal Shabbat, the Mitzvah L'Kadesh Al Riyah. Because then there's a Mitzvah to get the Riyah to match up with what the Chachamim want. They always want it to be 29 days. So there's a Mitzvah to get the Edim there on time, so that they can be Mechadish the Chodesh Al Pi Riyah. If you say that Adar sometimes is 30 days, sometimes is 29 days, Amai Mechalalinan, then why are you Mechalal Shabbat to bring the Edim in? Na'abri Ayidna, leave today the 30th day as Adar, Nekadshe L'Machar, you'll make a Kodesh tomorrow when the Edim show up. So then, why do you have to be Mechalal Shabbat? Just let the Edim come a day later, and you'll make it a 30-day month. If you don't care whether it's 30 or 29, there's no reason to have the Edim be Mechalal Shabbat. Where it says, E'idikla Yom Shloshim B'Shabbat, if the 30th day falls out in Shabbat, Hachanami, then what you're saying is true. Because the reason that we want them to be Mechalal Shabbat is to be Mekadesh al-Pri Ariyah. But if you didn't care about whether it was 29 or 30 days, just tell them to come on Sunday. Hakamai Eskino, what's the case here? The Ikla Yom Shloshim Ve'achad B'Shabbat. The 31st days on Shabbat. The Mitzvah Lekadesh al-Ariyah. So then there's a reason to have the Edim be Mechalal Shabbat. Even though it's a month where it could be 29 or 30, they didn't show on the 30th day. So now for sure it's a 30-day month, and it's going to be on the 31st day. So why be a Mechalal Shabbat? Because we want the Edim to get there on the 31st day in order to testify and be Mekadesh al-Pi Ariyah. So even if you have it be a flexible month, there's a reason to have them be Mechalal Shabbat in order to get them there on time to be Mekadesh al-Pi Ariyah, whether it's the 30th or 31st day that's going to be Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And same is true the other way around. Even if you fix it at 29 days and it's always going to be a chaser, we still want the Edim to be Mechalal Shabbat to get there so we can Mekadesh al-Pi Ariyah. Even though we're going to make it 29 days, we still want the Edim to come and support us, because then there's mitzvah lechatchila to do it al-pi ha-ri'iyah. So those are the two lishonot of the Gemara, but it indicates from that upcoming Mishnah that we can't prove anything, because that Mishnah that says your Mechalal Shabbat for Nisan might be true even if it's always a 29-day month, or it might be true even if it's a 29 or 30-day month of Adar. Okay, we'll stop over here.